Wendy, you know what I just realized? We had David Hochberg in, and now we have the exact opposite of David Hochberg in.
Dr. Smooth Over Everything.
That's right.
Dr. John Duffy in the studio, clinical psychologist, life coach, author. The Available Parent is his great book. I suggest you read it. And how are you, Dr. Duffy?
I'm great. How are you guys today?
Couldn't be better.
Excellent.
Couldn't be better. You wanted to talk about a topic that Wendy and I have discussed earlier in the week, but is this red hot? And that's what's going on with Pokemon and all over the country.
I'm not surprised it's come up. And I'm not sure what the differences are, so maybe we can figure this out as we sit here. But
yes.
But there's a lot I like about it, because I think finally the basement-dwelling kids are out and about and playing and cooperating. And
meeting other kids
meeting
and becoming
other kids.
Social.
Even meeting some of – I heard a great story yesterday, the day before, about a kid who saw his bully in the park.
Right.
And the bully approached him, and he's scared to death. And the bully says, oh, you're missing it, because over by the hill here, there's a whole bunch of stuff you got to collect.
So it brought them together.
Right. It brought them together. I mean, and brothers are working together, and parents and kids are out there. You
right.
know, so
I got the app.
Did you really? See, there you go.
So sworn enemies, Hatfields and McCoys, are coming together. For the common bond of finding monsters that do not exist.
Right, exactly. I'm not saying that's happening across the board, but it's happened at least once that I can account
for. All right, well, then
for.
That's fine then, I guess. Do you believe people go, this is great exercise. Is it great exercise? I guess it is to some extent.
I think it's
a
great
exercise.
I think it's more that, you know, it's July and kids are out. Where,
right.
you know, normally the video game kid is going to be in
right.
front of a screen. And
in
now,
the air conditioning.
Right, in the air conditioning. Now all these kids are out. I mean, you know, we can look out this window for 10 minutes. We're going to see somebody
right.
looking for these things, right?
Yeah, the mayor walked by. I was looking
right?
for him yesterday.
Well, I hope
yeah,
Rom
weird.
Hatched that egg.
My kids went out for several hours, I was telling you the other night.
Mm-hmm.
They were out past curfew. I'm like, where are you? Downtown LaGrange, there were a bunch of kids there. Have you noticed kids in our neighborhood all over?
I have. I live, you know, and work downtown, so I walk both ways. And every single time I see kids, and they do these kind of ridiculous gymnastics. They're walking around in circles, and they're passing each other, and they're switching phones. And
mm-hmm.
It's just kind of fun to see the cooperation. And in these times where, you know, we've got all this heavy stuff in the headlines, these kids are playing for the first time, and it might feel just ridiculous to a lot of us.
Right.
But to me, that feels like a good sign.
It's
that
a good start.
Hopeful. It's a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were against it because you're like, why don't you read a book? Why should you do this? But somebody texted and said their kid goes to summer camp and has a part-time job. So at the end of the day, that's what they want to do to chill out. They don't want to read a book at that point.
Right. Right. And listen, I get your point, Bill. And if it were up to me, you know, at the end of every day,
yeah.
every kid has spent a half an hour reading. You
right.
know,
wouldn't
I think
that be
these,
nice?
Yeah. I think these can exist in the same universe. And I hope that happens.
Right.
But for now, and this isn't ideal necessarily, but I will absolutely take it. It feels like a vast improvement.
How about I'm a fan of budgeting your time. And I know everybody's budget of time
I'm
is different.
Terrible
but,
at that.
Well, it's not easy to do. It isn't, and some people are better at it than others, but you want to have a little bit of everything, a little bit of exercise, a little bit of knowledge. You know, that ideally, that would be great, right?
Absolutely. You know, the more the kids I work with, if their days were structured, you know, so that there was some time for Pokemon, some time for the gym, some time for reading, some time for doing some stuff around the house, and maybe some just free time, that's a well set up day. That's a
right.
great way to keep a kid off a couch.
Right.
And how does a kid do that? I mean, you're saying this as an adult, it's easier. Not for me, but for you to budget your time now. If I get some free time, I'm going to binge watch Orange is the New Black. I could be doing something more productive,
mm-hmm.
but I need some downtime too.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it harder for a kid to budget their time like that?
Especially now. Now most of their time is real, real loose. I had a kid in my office the other day. I wish I could remember the name of the app he cited, but he talked about this app where it was designed for teenagers to budget their time, to budget their days. And I think that's like kind of a great idea, because I think to do it organically and ask yourself to do it organically and really stick to it
tough.
Is really hard this time of year.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Evernote, is it?
No, it is okay. Not Evernote. I would remember that. I'll think of it and I'll let you guys know for sure.
I need it.
Somebody sent me a video yesterday of a mom who has a thing called Chardonnay Go. And what it is, it's for moms who just walk around town finding glasses of wine strategically hidden. And there are plenty of them. The lady had no problem finding any.
I am certain that people are going to find their variations on this that's going to work for them. Yeah.
So overall, and this, let's be honest, this is a fad. In 2 weeks, this will be old news already.
No, because they're now going to let people advertise, like you can buy a pokey spot. So say WGN Radio wanted to buy a pokey spot, we'd buy it and then you'd go WGN Radio. So they're selling advertising now to pick a spot to go. Wow. That's genius. Wow.
So the fad may last longer than 2 weeks. And I suspect other video games are going to find ways to kind of capitalize on this. But to your point, my hope is that this is a first step toward something where kids are out and about more, that they recognize, oh, there's a secondary benefit to the sun being out and me being out underneath it.
Right. It's nice.
Right.
I told Wendy this yesterday. There are people who are now called pokey coaches. So they make $20 an hour and they hang out with your kids and they help them find the different monsters around at the tune of $20 an hour. Wow.
Correct. I mean, you can take anything too far. I think that's probably proof of that. Right.
Yep.
Because part of the fun, I think, is figuring this stuff out on your own. And it doesn't sound... I'm not a Pokemon expert, but it doesn't sound that complicated to me.
All right. We need to take a quick break. Dr. John Duffy is here, and your podcasts are fantastic. You can find them on your website, which is?
DrJohnDuffy.com.
Plain and simple.
Yep.
You can also find it on WGN Plus. We'll take a quick break and back with your calls. 312-981-7200. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Sure, this is not John Bon Jovi singing the Pokemon theme.
I don't think it's John.
Doesn't that sound like
it? It does sound like
a teenage John Bon Jovi.
Yes, it does. Dr. John Duffy is here, formerly a teen Dr. John Duffy, but now he's present day Dr. John Duffy, talking about various topics. This is a great topic. How to maintain family resilience and talking openly during troubled times. And these are troubled times, aren't they?
These are troubled times. And what we tend to do, I think, and maybe this goes back a generation, is we batten down the hatches. We protect our kids from any bad news as best we can. And oftentimes we get together with other families. We kind of separate the children from the adults. And the adults have the adult conversation. The kids have the kids conversation. I was at a friend's house the other night. And the kids just, for whatever reason, hung in with us. And they sat and we talked about pop culture and we talked about music. And we talked about kind of the state of the world today and politics. And the kids were amazing. It was really interesting to hear what they had to say. They were more hopeful, more thoughtful, more encouraging than any of us were. Most of us were kind of like holding a position, whereas the kids were like, well, why do you believe that? And asking really good questions. And I think we dismiss that, the utility of that. Way too readily, because we have so much we can learn from our kids and they want to be part of the conversation. That's what surprised me, is they weren't budging. They wanted to hear what we had to say. Mm-hmm. They asked really, really good questions. So one thing I'm thinking is we need to do more of that, like, you know, within our families and with other families, is invite kids into the conversation, because we just don't do that enough.
It's a great idea, isn't it? I always feel that our best conversations are when it's all four of us talking about something. So why not extend that when you have other people over? Make that part of the night.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think it's really good for kids, too, because I think they feel validated, important, like their point of view matters.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So with what's gone on with the police shootings, and we've talked about this with you a little bit in the past, John. Mm-hmm. How do you decide exactly how much to say to a kid? Is it based on their age? Is it based on just the scope of how much they can handle? How do you know?
It's got to be in part based on both those things, right? You have to know your kids well enough to know, like, okay, every gruesome detail is not necessary for my six-year-old, you know? So it's important to kind of separate kids out a little bit. But I think a lot of us assume our kids know less than they do. They know a lot because they just have so many ways of learning information, and that they're less resilient than they are. So my bias is you can usually tell your kids at the very least the bones of what's going on. And ask them, you know, well, so what do you think about this? How do you feel about this? Because I'm really sad about it, you know, and I'm not sure what it means for all of us. And draw them out. Let them talk about their opinions about it a little bit. But for younger kids, I think you want to really titrate down what it is that you share with them specifically.
And maybe just come right out and say, you know, you've heard about what's happened in Dallas. Do you have any questions?
Absolutely.
You know, because maybe they haven't heard about it or maybe they don't understand it.
Yep. Yep. No, absolutely. Really good point.
It's okay to admit to your children that you don't know the answers either, isn't it?
I think it's important to admit to your children you don't know the answers. I mean, I think it's kind of an important part of a family to say, well, let's talk about it. And let's
watch
find
out about together.
It. Yeah, let's see if we can figure something out, you know? Like, let's see if we can make some small inroad from this house that might make some little bit of difference, you know, and have some butterfly effect that's going to have an impact somewhere else.
I can't speak for your parents, but I know my mom would never admit she was wrong about something. And if she didn't know, she'd make something up and sound convincing. It's a different time now.
It's a different time. And when a lot of us are inclined to do that. I work with a lot of parents who will say, well, I don't know why my kid is anxious. I never felt anything like that. And that doesn't do kids any favors. I think the more we show that, hey, I'm flawed too, and I made it this far, that gives kids a whole lot of confidence and their anxiety level comes way down when they realize mom and dad aren't perfect.
Last week, one of my daughters is working for the summer as a camp counselor. And in the midst of everything that went on, actually, it was the night after the Dallas shootings, one of the kids came in. And some of the kids were more upset, and other of the kids just were unfazed by it all. But there was one kid in particular that didn't want to do anything that day. He didn't want to participate in any of the activities. And my daughter said, what's going on? And he said, what's going on is I watched the news last night, and I saw what was going on, and I'm afraid, and I don't know what's going to happen next. And I think this is going to get worse instead of better. And it was interesting to see my daughter now being on the side of somebody who had to kind of help somebody younger than her figure things out. I was proud of her for the way she handled it. But she said this was a kid who, like many adults, watched what went on and just said, I don't know what to make of this.
What a cool interaction, right? So you think about how differently your daughter could have handled that. You know, like, oh, this didn't affect us, and you know, you didn't know any of these guys, so shake it off and move on, instead of like having the empathy and the thoughtfulness to pause and let him have his say, you know, critical. I mean, I think their generation is really good at doing that for one another. So that's it's a great story. And I think kids do that more than we know.
Yeah.
Your kids are so nice and your wife is so nice. What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Can we touch on the hashtag Chicago Wins really quickly?
Yeah. I've talked to a couple of kids about, like, you know, so on the idea that, you know, you start locally in terms of fostering change. One boy and I were talking yesterday about what happened in New York about 20 years ago, where they had this massive crime problem where, you know, and murder was a big part of it. And instead of going after the major crimes, what the city council and the mayor did is they went after graffiti in the subways and on the streets, thinking psychologically, if people recognize that these petty crimes aren't acceptable and aren't allowable in these areas, well, then major crimes are probably not going to be allowable either. And so civility kind of rose out of that. And to, I think, a lot of people's surprise, the crime rate in New York went down precipitously really quickly from that, like, little intervention that didn't cost a whole lot. And so we've been talking about this upcoming Cub Sox series and how, you know, vitriolic. I've been to a few of those games. You guys probably have
too. Heated.
It's heated, right? Yep. It's wretched.
Sox are better.
There you have it, right?
Bill actually does like both of them.
I like them both. But I've been there and I've seen things, you know, people get nuts.
And when you're a fair weather fan, you're rooting for a winner.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
so I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
But the idea would be that, boy, if Chicago wanted to play some role in being an example, right, of, you know, kind of pulling things together and creating a lesser degree of strife and modeling something on a global level, the hashtag Chicago Wins instead of Sox Wins or Cubs Win might mean a whole lot.
It's a better option.
It's a better option.
Wendy refuses.
I can't do it. But I'll think about it. It is a great idea, though.
It would be a little something, and it's kind of playful and fun, but a little something to say, hey, listen, this is a baseball game. We can create a little solidarity out of this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Check him out, WGN Plus. There's the Dr. John Duffy podcast, also on your website, which is
www.drjohnduffy.com.
And read The Available Parent, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Always a pleasure to have you in here.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, John. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.